When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, I am the penis of William Gallas. I know it has been some time since you have had the penis of William Gallas in your ear. I know you must have missed me, but many things have been afoot. A foot is 12 inches, something I, and not you, am very familiar with. In reality, I am here to say goodbye. I know things have ended on a rather flaccid note at Arsenal, but I don't care. In reality, I am, despite being a penis, also a bit of a cunt. So until next time, when I see you in the Champions League with a team from France or Italy or Spain, you take it easy, and remember, the penis of William Gallas will rise again.
Hello there, welcome to another Arseblog Arscast, right here on arseblog.oleole.com. Another league season is over, done and dusted, consigned to history. And Chelsea are champions. That's what the record books will show. And even though we were there or thereabouts for the most part of the season, I never really had any great expectation that we would go on and win the league. I hoped, of course, like all of you, I hoped we could do it. I didn't really think we would, though. And in his press conference after the game, Arsene Wenger said, "Well, congratulations to Chelsea and congratulations to Ancelotti over the league season. You know, the table doesn't lie. 38 games, blah, blah. Congratulations to them." Well, you won't find any of that sporting bollocks around here. Fuck Chelsea. I had sort of resigned myself to United winning it because they've won it 3 years in a row. And despite all the rivalry, there's a sort of grudging respect with United because our rivalry has been built on two good footballing teams going at it. And we've faded away and the rivalry has become less intense. And I'm sure if we were fighting with them right to the final day of the season, there'd be much more ire on my part. But I can live with United winning it more than Chelsea winning it. Because frankly, the idea of John Terry cavorting around a pitch and pulling down Ashley Cole's pants and celebrating the way they do, it's not right. It's just not right. So it's a painful sort of an end to the season, regardless of whether or not we could have overtaken Chelsea. It's still painful to think of them winning the league, and it should spur some kind of motivation for us going into next season. On this week's show, we've got a load of your thoughts about the way the season has gone, some phone calls from you guys. Thank you all for taking the time for phoning in yesterday. Some of you unfortunately didn't make it, not because I didn't have enough space, because I did, but the sound quality from a couple of them was really bad, and I just want to say to a couple of guys from Nigeria who rang in and left messages, unfortunately the sound quality was really bad, but thank you very much indeed anyway for calling. I do appreciate it. To the guy from Singapore who left the following message, you know what, guy from Singapore? It's probably a good idea when you're leaving phone call messages like this to obscure the number that you're calling from. Have a listen.
Ask blogger, you fucker, you fucking twat, you fucking fuckface, motherfucking cunt. You have a car crash, you fucking fucker, horseface, fuck. Ponytail, little son of a bitch. Cockface, cocksucking cunt. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck, fuck, fuck you. fucking cunt, asshole, fuckface. Die, fuckface.
Now, I don't know if in Singapore they have a department of anti-crank phone calls, and people found guilty of making phone calls like that are put to death or anything. I'm hoping they do. And if you know of such a department, please let me know, and I'll pass on that telephone number, which I have written down in front of me, to the relevant authorities. And Vincent, or Tony, or whatever you're calling yourself, go shove it up your cunt, you hairdressing fanny bastard. All right, then. On the final day of the season, we played Fulham. A 4-0 win, secured third place, which we didn't even need to do in the end because Spurs, having been out on the piss since their win against Manchester City, lost 4-2 at Burnley, already relegated Burnley, having been 2-0 up. That, you see, is the sort of thing that I like to see from Spurs, because whoever they get in their first qualifying round, if they win 2-0, they'll go on the piss and think they're already in the Champions League. And then, when it comes to the second leg, they'll end up losing 4-2, and everyone will be laughing and happy, and balance in the universe will be restored. Nevertheless, we won 4-0. Arshavin scored the greediest goal I've ever seen in my life. Had he not scored that, I think Robin van Persie would have been well within his rights to punch his face in, because van Persie was standing there waiting for the pass, for the simple pass. It was a little bit greedy, I have to say. I didn't particularly enjoy it. Van Persie got the second, then there was an own goal, and then Carlos Vela, of all people, he arose from sort of the dead and showed to many what he was made of. Sadly, it was. On the last day of the season, it was a rather delicious chip over Mark Schwarzer. Fulham not particularly interested in the game because, of course, they had the Europa League final in midweek, and how that didn't turn out particularly well for them. I felt a bit sorry for them, actually. Diego Forlan, scourge of English teams since he left English football, scoring both the goals to win the trophy for Atletico Madrid. So anyway, afterwards, Arsene said, well, you can't win the title if you concede 40 goals, and these days he's quite right. We'll get on to where he says we're going to strengthen in a little while, but injuries and conceding too many goals and too many players who didn't really turn up. The season should have been much more positive. We should be going into the summer feeling much more positive than we actually do, regardless of whether we've won the title or not. The last month of the season has been pretty hellish, and I suspect the manager is not very happy with some of his players, and they are his players, and I suspect he feels a little bit let down by some of them, because you don't lose to Wigan and you don't lose to Blackburn, even though we've had a pile of injuries. I know we've had injuries, and you know, you can talk about that all day long, but it's just ifs. If we hadn't had so many injuries, if Almunia hadn't given away so many goals, if Fabianski hadn't given away so many goals, if we could defend better, if we could defend better as a team, if we were more organized. There's so many ifs, and we need to take out some of the ifs and replace them with not ifs. I don't know what they are or where you get them, but that's what we've got to do. Third place is about right for this team. We were there or thereabouts, as I said, in the title race, and we did tremendously well to get ourselves back into it. Remember, we were 11 points behind Chelsea at one stage. But we didn't have what it took to keep going. We didn't have the quality, and we didn't have the character. More than anything, I think that's what's disappointing, is that we didn't have the character to keep going. When we did have a chance to stay in the title race, when we lost to Spurs, Chelsea also lost to Spurs. And we could have made up some ground that weekend, but we didn't. We threw it away against Wigan. And that's what I mean about the quality and the character thing perhaps are intertwined. A player can have all the talent and technical ability in the world, but if he doesn't have the balls for a fight when it comes down to it, you're never going to win things. And that's, I think, where we've fallen a bit short, and where the manager needs to, as well as addressing the obvious technical flaws that we have in this team, is look at the characters in the team and get more guys in, like Fabregas, like Van Persie, like Sol Campbell, who will give you everything in every single game, because there are Arsenal players, unfortunately, at the moment, who don't do that. And who probably won't do that, because I don't think that's something you can teach. You either have that in your makeup as a footballer, or you don't. You're happy to let a guy run past you and hope that somebody else will make the tackle, or you're the guy that keeps chasing him and makes sure that you make the tackle. I don't think you can teach that. There's too many players that are the guy that's happy to watch and just hope that Vermaelen or somebody like that will stick their foot in and make the tackle and save the day. So that's really where the manager has got to start looking. Anyway, as I said, we'll come back to what he said about where we need to strengthen in a few moments. But I asked you, as I said, for your thoughts on the season. We've got them in a couple of different segments. So here's the first one.
Hi, blogs. My name's Terry Patrick from Witney in Oxfordshire. I just wanted to say I'm a bit worried that Arsenal are becoming a new Newcastle and Arsene Wenger, the new Kevin Keegan. We seem to be all about attack and don't really worry about defence, as you've said many times on the blog. We don't have any decent goalkeepers, and defensively we never seem to be organised. It seems to me that Wenger now, just like Kevin Keegan, seems to want to score more goals. It's as if you can say, we'll score more goals and we can concede, we'll always score more than you. And that's just not the case anymore because we have clock strikers. So I think we need to strengthen the whole spine of the team. We need a striker, new defensive midfielder, and a whole new defence, I think, and a new goalkeeper. Thanks. Keep up the great work. Cheers.
Hi, blogger. This is Mike Tyndall from Fleet in Hampshire. Just a comment on the season. Although it ended disappointingly, on the plus side, we were still in the title race in mid-April, so I think that was a big step forward, plus the performance and advancement of Alexander Song. On the negative side, my major criticism is since we start the season theoretically going for four trophies, our manager ditches two before we even begin. We sacrifice the FA and Carling Cup every season to, as AW states, to concentrate on the Premier League and the Champions League. My problem is, since we adopted this strategy, we haven't won either of these. Okay, thanks, blogger. Bye.
Hi, Arseblog. This is James from Arsenalism Blogspot. On reflecting on the last season, I need to really reflect on the last 5 years, and what I'd say is that we seem to have gone from watching the Beatles at the London Palladium to watching the bootleg Beatles at the O2 Arena.
My name is Salami. I'm calling from Nigeria. I just want to say, I think we've had too many average players in the Arsenal squad this season. I think we just need to do away with a lot of them, man. It's just saddening, man.
Hello, Scott from Slough. I think you can look at the season in two ways, positive and negative. One positive, obviously, we sold players more than what we actually bought in, and we finished third, which is one position better than last year. Also, you can look at the negative and say, if the top teams didn't lose points like they did and a mad season, I think we could have finished a bit lower than what we did last season. But credit to the players for sticking in and getting third, and I think we can build on it with a couple of players for next season and hopefully challenge with some trophies. Good luck.
Hi, this is Dale Booth from London, England. I just think the third place, considering the injuries that Cesc, Robin Van Persie, Song, Stewie, Bentner, Eduardo, Theo, the Verminator, Ramsey, Nzinski, Cliche, third place ain't too bad. It's certainly something to build on next year if they have all the injuries back and they stay uninjured. Obviously, you can't account for the cock-ups on the goalkeeper's front. Loving your podcast, loving your blog. Keep it up. Did I just really say loving? Hi, Dalbert again. Sorry, I forgot to mention what an incorrigible, hateful little cunt Shawcross is. And Tony Pulis and perhaps Fat Sam and Harry Redknapp while I'm on the matter. Hanson, he's a cunt too. Shit, this could go on for a while. I won't bother. See you later. Bill Brown, I promise that's the last one. He definitely is a cunt. Although he's an unemployed cunt now, so that's good. Okay, better. See you later. Stan, wife-beating, dogging, sex-deviant, cunt, Colin Moore. How could I forget him? Okay, that's definitely the last one. See you next season. Bye.
Isn't that always the way? You hang up the phone and you realise there's just somebody else you wanted to call a cunt. Always happens to me, it really does. We'll have more of your thoughts in a little while. Now, I wanted to do something, because we're all talking about positives and negatives and good things and bad things about the season, I wanted to pick out three things that I enjoyed and three that I didn't. And two of them, positive and negative, are very much interlinked, and that's Aaron Ramsey. His emergence and his development this season, I thought, was one of the standout positives. He scored four, maybe five goals, maybe six goals in the season. He looked like he was really coming on as a player, and I think it's overlooked given everything that's happened, that he was being selected ahead of Danielson. Danielson was sitting on the bench. Ramsey was playing alongside Cesc in midfield and doing very, very well. Didn't look out of place at all. And then, of course, it was that Stoke game. But from a positive point of view, the way he developed as a player over the season was tremendous for me. And I hope that's the way that Jack Wilshere is going to be introduced next season. The negative, of course, was the injury, the tackle, the self-pitying bollocks from Ryan Shawcross, the media-led excuse-making for Shawcross, for Stoke, Tony Pulis not taking any responsibility for the way his players play football, and just the general culture in which violent play is excused and trivialities are punished so greatly in English football. I think it's a big problem. And I'll point you back to the Arsecast. I think it was number 153, which is called Do It For Aaron. I haven't listened back. I probably should have. But I think that's the one with Philippe Auclair, and he spoke about the punditry in English football and the way that issues like the Ramsey tackle are dealt with. And he spoke about a book called English of Football by a guy who writes for The Guardian called Raphael Honigstein, or Honigstein. Forgive my German pronunciation, but I got that book and I read it on the way over to Barcelona for the Champions League game, and it's fantastic. It really is an excellent book, and if you want something to kind of put the English mentality about football into perspective, that's very much it. Ramsey is going to spend another, 6 months or 5 months, maybe more, out of the game. We've seen what happened to Eduardo after his injury. He really suffered badly. And I hope that the positive of Ramsey emerging as a player is not done in by the thuggery and just sheer fucking boneheaded Neanderthal cuntishness of Ryan Shawcross and Stoke City. So there was one positive, one negative. Another positive for me, Cesc Fabregas. Here's a guy who, I know he's in the news now, and there's all these stories about what he said about Barcelona and this, that, and the other. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm really not. I'd rather sit here and self-harm. I would. Take out razor blades and cut things into my arms and shit like that than deal with all that stuff that's coming out from Spain. I know there's video. We don't have very much context of the video. And even then, he said, if one day I was to leave Arsenal, and I'm not in any hurry to do so, Barcelona would be the team that I would go and play for. I mean, shock fucking horror. It's not like this is news to any of us or a shock to any of us. So I'm not dealing with that at all in this particular Arsecast. What I will deal with is Cesc as a captain who has grown up and become a man who will take responsibility and has taken responsibility. That penalty at Stoke, I downloaded that goal on HD because I think HD is cool. I have to try and get that. If anyone from Sky is listening, I'll have a free Sky HD box, please. I'll give you loads of mentions on the blog. But the HD video is absolutely brilliant. It's from, I don't know where, Romania or some Romanian channel. Anyway, the commentary put shivers down my spine, even though I can't understand a word of it apart from Fabregas and penalty. But the way he stepped up there and scored that penalty in that game against Stoke, after what had happened to Aaron Ramsey, having seen the team fall to pieces a bit after the same thing happened to Eduardo, talk about balls. The Aston Villa cameo, balls of steel. Came on, scored two goals, fucked up his hamstring, played against Barcelona, broken leg, scored a penalty with a broken leg, and played on just so he wouldn't be outnumbered. And I don't really care, to be honest, what they say in the newspapers about Barcelona or this, that, and the other. You can judge a guy by what he does on the pitch and how much he gives to your team on the pitch. And Cesc gave pretty much everything he had this season for Arsenal. 18 goals. His season couldn't last, sadly, with the injuries. I'm not sure that we overworked him or anything like that, but he came of age. He's been a fantastic player since he first got in the team, but he emerged this season as a captain. And for me, that was a big positive as well. A second positive, or the final positive, I'm going to say Alex Song. And he's a guy, as I've said on the podcast before, that I was too quick to judge. I got it pretty wrong, as did a lot of people, but I'll hold my hands up and say I got this one wrong. And we missed him when he wasn't in the team. And fair play to him for coming through and fighting against the odds I don't know that it can happen that often with a player that everybody looks at him and goes, no, I don't know. No, no, no. And then, oh, holy fuck. Actually, this guy's quite good. He went through a very steep learning curve at Arsenal. And maybe, I still maintain that perhaps he shouldn't have gone through that learning curve with us. That it might have been better for him to spend another season on loan somewhere and then come back. But nevertheless, he stepped up and has become an integral part of the Arsenal team. And when he's missed...
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. You're going, oh, fuck. And nobody could have really thought about that 12 or 18 months ago, so fair play to him. The other two negatives are related to the formation that we play. And I think the 4-3-3 does suit the players that we have. You look at 18 goals from Cesc, it allows him to get forward. Injuries, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to talk about those, the way they haven't helped. But initially, at the start of the season, we pressured teams from the front to the back. So when they had possession, our forwards were pressing, our midfield was pressing. We worked hard to get the ball back. And it was fairly evident that by the time we played Barcelona in the Champions League, the first game at the Grove, that this is exactly what they were doing to us, and we had no answer to it. We were not able to do it back, and it's something that we didn't do really for quite a lot of the season. Having started it so well, I'm at a loss to understand why it wasn't being drilled into them. This is what you have to do. That pressure from the very top. Too many players, like I said, who don't necessarily want to do the hard work. And the final part of the negative of the season for me is the final month. And when you're looking for guys who aren't necessarily first choice, but who have still got something to prove to the team and to prove to the manager, to prove to the fans, and you know, they're being given a chance to go out there and show that they're worthy of the Arsenal shirt, didn't do it. And the attitude and the effort was not right, and it wasn't very Arsenal-like. And I think that, for me, was another big, big negative this season. So there you go, three positives, three negatives. Not quite random, but, you know, we could go on and pick five and five or seven and seven. We'd be here all day. So some more of your thoughts.
Hi, Osmogo. This is Tom. My thoughts on the season are rather embarrassing. Limp to the finish was truly hard to obscure, rather, what I think was basically a pretty good season, certainly improvement on last. If Man U and Chelsea had the same extent of injuries right through their team, front to back, I think they'd have been affected as badly as we were. Positives are we've got great new centre-back in Vermaelen. Song, I think, was excellent for most of the season. Even Diaby was good for last part of it, if not toward the end. And now to really show glimpses of what he can be next season. We all know what we need to do to go forward. Let's hope our team does too. Come on the boys for next season. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Mr. Arsblogger. It's Ross from Finsbury Park. I just want to say the most positive thing about the season just gone by was definitely the debut of Thomas the Verminite. What now? The Verminator of Marlin. Basically, yeah, the guy's just a beast in defence. You can tell from his attitude, the way he puts on that Arsenal shirt, and every time he comes on the pitch, he gives his 100%, yeah.
Hi Andrew, I thought I'd take you up on your invite to contribute this week because it's the first time I've seen an Arsenal play as much as I have. I rented a season ticket this year. Highlights include beating Spurs 3-0 and singing "Are You Tottenham in Disguise." Obviously Thomas Vermaelen's brilliant first season, and seeing Cesc really step up to the mark and take the team forward as a man that he's become. I think I share everyone's frustrations, but really we're not that far away, and just a few signings in the summer should hopefully make it an even better season next year. But overall, I think there's lots of reasons to be cheerful going forward.
This is Steve from Darlington, and I'd just like to say that I think the season has been more positive than what people make it out to be. I think on the positive side, I think Cesc Fabregas has more maturity than Vermaelen and Sol Campbell. I also think it does show that the squad does need trimming and needs adding to, if you know what I mean. We need to get rid of some of the dead wood and we need to bring in some more quality, but I think we've all said that on Askus for a long time now. Thank you, bye.
My name's Hussein Agal. I'm calling from Croydon. I think the team this year improved massively, I think. Obviously, still we became a bit short of the air towards the end. I think what cost us overall was individual mistakes, I think. But overall, the team, as a team, I think we played all the way along very well. And it's not all doom and gloom. I think we've progressed quite well. It just, obviously, injuries was the main cause. And that's my view. Keep the good work, mate. Okay, goodbye.
Hi, my name is Richie, and I'm in Wellington in New Zealand. I just want to mention one change I would like to see for next season, and this one is on the fan side, not the team side. This is to all of you Gooners who are lucky enough to be seated at the Emirates watching your team on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Please stay until the end. It's frustrating enough for us hundreds of thousands of fans all over the world watching on dodgy internet streams who would give our right arm to be there. So I can't imagine what it must be like for the players in the last crucial 5 minutes of a game looking around the stadium and see supporters heading for the exits. Be a true Gooner and support your team to the end. The trains will still be running and the pubs will still be open when you leave.
One final batch of your thoughts still to come before the end of this particular Arsecast. Now, one man who's been in the news this week is Tony Adams. He's got a brand new job and, well, here he is.
Hello, everyone. Tony Adams here with another poem on the Arsecast. This week's poem is entitled My New Job, and it goes a little bit like this. Oh, football, I love you, but what is your plan? Instead of being at Portsmouth, where I am the man, I am going to Azerbaijan. It is very close to Iran, and it is also on the Caspian Sea, which, as we know, is home to the friendly ghost that I love the most. Oh, Azerbaijan, if I brought my mental former England teammate and made him president, I could change the name to Gazabajan. Thank you very much.
So Arsene says defence is where he wants to strengthen this summer, and I don't think anybody would argue with that, even though the transfer we've been linked with the most over the last few months has been Marouan Chamakh from Bordeaux. The Moroccan striker is set to sign any day now. I don't know when we'll get a confirmation of that. Perhaps when his contract runs out, probably the end of May, would it be? Probably something like that. But he's on his way. But defence, he's got to do something. William Gallas is gone, for sure. He would have signed before now if he was going to stay, and the chairman's comments suggest that he's well and truly gone. Sylvester's contract has run out. And I very, very much doubt if that's going to be renewed. So we're left with Sol Campbell, who's sitting down with the club right now and wants to stay for at least another year. And I would be surprised if that didn't happen. We've got Thomas Vermaelen. We've then got Johan Giroud. And that's it in terms of centre-halves. So what we need to do is bring in at least one centre-half who's going to be a candidate for the first team. At least one. Because I think we need that bit of depth. Juru, I hope, can kick on and stay injury-free. He says he's got a brand new knee. He was having problems all last season, and it was very serious, and his career was touch and go, I'm told. So for him to come through that is fantastic. But we probably need to bear in mind that his injury was bad and add a bit of depth to that position, because we don't want to move Alex Song from central midfield or from that defensive central midfield role. If we have Campbell, Giroud, Vermaelen and a new centre-half, should one or two injuries crop up, then we're looking at moving Song back from the central midfield role, and we don't have an obvious replacement for that, and that could be another area that needs to be strengthened. So defence certainly needs to be strengthened. He's got to go out and find a proper centre-half. Another Vermaelen is what he's going to have to find. And a Vermaelen with a bit more height, perhaps, and a bit more presence, and perhaps a bit more experience, because he has been fantastic, and I really like Vermaelen, but he's still very young for a centre-half, 23, 24, and he's got a lot to learn about the game, and he'll learn it better by playing alongside somebody of 27, 28, 30 years of age than he will playing alongside another 23, 24-year-old, which is where many of the problems in this Arsenal team come from, in my opinion, but that's something we can explore another day. So he's got to go out and find that, and above all else for me, he's got to go and find a goalkeeper. From what I'm told, Fabianski is still rated very, very highly. Still rated very highly. But no matter how highly he rates him, surely he can't miss the fact that whenever he plays, Fabianski costs us a goal. So he might not ditch Fabianski. I think Almunia might be the one to go. Fabianski could remain as number two, and he might, should, go mad if he doesn't, bring in a new goalkeeper. He needs a new goalkeeper. Arsenal need a new goalkeeper, someone experienced, someone of quality. Buffon, I think, is a step too far in terms of what he would cost us in transfer fee and wages and all that. It would be a magic signing, but I think that's a step too far. But there are other goalkeepers around who could do the job, who are good enough, who are within our price range. And should he go through the transfer window without buying a keeper, I'd have to start asking some very serious questions of Arsene. So there we go. That's what he's got to do this summer. Perhaps it's something we can come back to in maybe the final Arscast next week, because there isn't much point in me doing them during the summer. There isn't enough material. Maybe we might do the odd World Cup one, but, you know, I don't really give a shit about the World Cup or any of the teams that are in it. I mean, you look at France in the old days, you go, well, I'd be kind of up for France because they've got Petit and Vieira and Henry and Pires and, you know, I don't feel necessarily the same way about Pires, or I don't feel the same way about Diaby, I should say, as I did about Robert Pires. You know, I don't particularly care about Diaby. Whereas I always wanted Bob to win because he was so excellent and so dreamy. Anyway, that might be a possibility. We'll see what happens during the summer. Maybe an odd World Cup podcast or two, but next week, I suspect, will probably be the last one of the season. Your final batch of thoughts right here.
Hi, it's Andy Simpson from Hamburg. I think it's been a fairly decent season, really. I mean, if we'd started off at third place and been a little way off the pace all the season, I don't think we'd be worrying about it. To get so close and at the end with a supposedly easier run-in, to fall off the pace so quickly and almost lose third place, that's a bit disappointing. Apart from that, it always annoys me when we field a weakened team in the Caps. I think we should just try and play with the first squad and try and win something. And I hope we start this year by buying what's obviously necessary, a keeper, a couple of defenders and maybe someone in the midfield. But I think we've got good potential and we've done all right this year.
Hello, blogs. It's Boston here. Yes, I have been encouraged by this season's performance. wasn't all miserable. It was bloody awful, though, going out in the Champions League and then imploding with the league, as per usual. But it wasn't miserable. Definitely progress. Favourite moment, I think, was probably Seth's goal from the off, when he picked it up outside the kick-off and basically went through the defence and scored. And obviously his cameo against Aston Villa. Worst moment was definitely seeing Ramsey's leg break and all the English typical press basically going on after the team and after Wenger and all the rest of it. That was just complete bollocks. Favourite goal, actually, I think, was the Seth goal against Spurs at home. That's about it, mate. I'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.
Hello, Ask Blogger. This is Johnny Massacre from Tokyo. What did I think of the season? A bit cunty, really. There were a few good moments, weren't there, but it's all fucked up now, so, you know, I'm just going to get back on the crack pipe and wish for a good season next year. Bye.
Hello, my name is Emmanuel Mbue. I come from the Ivory Coast. I just would like to say that the best part of the season are Portugal.
My name's Jamie from North London. There's a lot of negativity surrounding the season. I don't really want to focus on that. A couple of things that I thought were really good this year was the huddle after Stoke. I thought we learned our lessons. I thought a lot of players showed maturity, and the comebacks that we've had this year as well have been great. And I suppose the best of the season was Phil Brown losing his job. I swear I've seen him working down my local chippy. Bye.
Hi, Ask Blogger. This is Ben from arsenalnews.co.uk in Paris. I think that this season was, under the circumstances, a decent progression for many areas of the team, especially when you look at the league stats of goals scored and points despite the injuries and the dramatic end-of-term slump. Vermaelen has had a decent first season. Clichy has come, played well since returning. Fabregas, of course, has been superb, and the growth we've seen not only in Song but in Niklas Bentner during his first decent spell of first-team football has been very encouraging to me. Congratulations to the under-18s for winning their league this week. Some silverware. With this and the financial stability at the club, I think things are looking up for Arsenal. And as supporters, we should consider ourselves lucky that our team is being run so responsibly in comparison to so many others. I'm looking forward to next season. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Hi there. Donald from Nottingham. Highlight of the season, Danielson dance after his goal against West Ham. Oh, dear.
Afternoon, blogs. This is Matt in Dubai. For me, this season, I wasn't actually that upset because at the start of the season, I didn't really expect too much from us. However, the most infuriating thing for me was definitely losing to the and then having to suffer those gloating bastards for the rest of the season, trying to take our third place. So there you go. Take care, blogs. Bye bye. Keep up the good work.
How are you, blogger? It's Big Dave from Malahide. Just like what you said today about Stephen Ireland, if we could get him and Kevin Dale, and if we could get Shea in goals, that'd be grand. Cheers.
Ah, Big Dave from Malahide. How nice to have another Irishman, or half-Irishman, on the Arsecast. Thank you all for your contributions. It was interesting to hear them. I thought there was going to be a lot more negativity, to be honest. I don't think anybody's particularly happy with how things went, but I thought there was going to be a bit more ranting and venting and all that kind of stuff. The perspective, I have to say, was interesting. So, really, that's about it. There's not much else to talk about. There's no game this weekend. It's just me and you and the blog and a summer of transfer rumours. Oh, yeah, arsenal.com, stop, please, with the transfer rumour thing. Come on, every other fucking website does it. Caught Offside and Tribal Football and Goal and all these ones. Come on. The last thing we need from Arsenal.com is a load of rumour. All you're doing is adding weight to those rumours, even though they're bollocks. So I think they've scored a bit of an own goal on that one. But nevertheless, we'll ignore that and continue on with our own transfer speculation. As I said, we'll probably have one more Arsecast next week. So until then, take it easy. Talk to you on the next Arsecast all week on the blog, and Sylvester's coming up after the music. Cheers, bye-bye. We'll be right back.
It's me again, Sylvester! Another season is over. Another season without a trophy for Arsenal. I know the fans are so disappointed. Let me tell you, the players, we are disappointed too. But I'm the most disappointed of all because my contract has run out and it does not look like it's going to be renewed. This makes me very sad because I've had such a wonderful time. I've met so many great friends and, to be honest, I'm gutted because I won't be able to take it up the Arsenal every weekend. Oh! Oh! Baby.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.